thought about that when God comes, things certainly are changed. They've become different. I think that some of you could tell us exactly how that worked in your life. You were going along in your life. You were doing what you were doing. Some of you were wonderful people. Some of you were not so wonderful people. Some of you had everything that you possibly needed, and others of you had nothing that you needed. And suddenly, somewhere in your life, somehow, some way, God came along. Now, I'm not talking about a religious experience necessarily. I'm not talking about a ritual or a ceremony that took place in your life. I'm talking about the moment that when you came to the place where you grasped the reality of God for your life, where you began to understand that if you were to live life in a manner that brought you the internal joy that you needed, that meant God had to do something in you. You couldn't do it. You couldn't fix it. There was no place you could go for it. You couldn't get a doctor to write a prescription for it. You could not go down to your mother's house and have her give you a home remedy. You could not get anything like that to help you. And you needed something. And God came. In the 11th chapter the 10th chapter of Acts, there's an event that takes place in the life of Peter. Peter has been a servant of the Most High God. He came to Jesus, one of the original disciples. Many of you already know that. He was with Jesus approximately 3+ years. He saw the powerful workings of Jesus. He heard the wonderful messages of Jesus. He saw Jesus feed the hungry, heal the sick, raise the dead, do all kinds of miracles. And yet in his heart there were still issues that he had to deal with. And in the 10th chapter, he's on a roof in the city of Joppa and he's praying. And it says in verse 10, he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down at the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and God stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Now if you go on down in this area of Scripture a little bit further, you'll see where the Scriptures give us Peter's reaction to going to Cornelius, another man's house. Sharing the gospel. That Cornelius was a Gentile. Cornelius did not believe in Jesus. He was what was called a God-fearer in that day and age. And Peter goes to his house and he says these words. If I can find them, just give me a second here. He said, that's Cornelius in verse 30. In verse 34, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him.' the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And ye are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, and through his name whosoever believeth him shall receive remission of sin. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues or in languages and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they prayed. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. In this particular account, what we are being shown is what happens when God comes. Now, there's at least a couple things in there that about the changes that takes place. Peter had been raised a Jew. In the Jewish religion, they were not to go to the home of a Gentile. If you live next door to them, they would not go have dinner with you. They would not spend time in your house with you because you were a Gentile. You did not have the right pedigree for that. And as Peter is up on the rooftop in Joppa praying, suddenly he sees a vision. And in that vision, he sees that net being let down, that sheep being let down with all kinds of animals in it. And folks, again, in the Jewish religion, you could only eat certain animals. You didn't eat pigs and you didn't eat stuff like that because it was against the law. And so when this sheep lets down all kinds of animals and the Spirit says, eat, Peter responds with his religious background, I have never eaten anything like that. I have not eaten anything common or unclean. And this happens three times. And suddenly, God gives him a lesson. God is present. And he says to him, don't call anything common what I have cleaned. And my friend, at that moment, there was such a change that took place in the life of Peter that it forever affected him. Now, he had problems with it later on. If you'll read through the New Testament, you'll find an issue in the book of Galatians where Paul has to correct him. But folks, that moment was such a life-changing moment for Peter that it affected everything he did. Just a few moments later, as he's praying, suddenly three men from Cornelius' house come by. Now, isn't that timing just very unique? We call those things coincidences. God calls them an appointed moment. And so they come by and Peter hears from the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit says, go with them. And he does. And they wind up at Cornelius' house. And at Cornelius' house, Cornelius begins to tell him about what all had happened and why he came to the moment of sending for Peter, how God had spoken to him and had told him to send for Peter at Peter, the tanner in Joppa's house. A very distinct direction, a very distinct location, a very distinct person. He says, go there. and get Peter. And Peter goes to Cornelius' house, and at Cornelius' house, he preaches the gospel. He preaches the gospel. And the Holy Spirit falls in that room on those people. God came. And they were forever changed. Did you note that? Two different times, two different events or moments of change of the presence of God and of the change of the lives of people. God stepped into the room. God spoke. People listened. And they responded to Him. Folks, when God comes, one of the first things you have to do is listen to Him. I believe God stepped into this room earlier and that He has come to do some things in the lives of people. Some of you sit here, and I know many of you came to the altar, but some of you may not have come to the altar with all the issues that really revolved around your heart and your life. You may have dealt with one thing, but there were two things or five things. Some of you sat in the pew, and maybe you didn't need to come to the altar, but maybe you did. Maybe you needed to hear God speak. At that moment as you sat there and there was something happened inside of you and you couldn't quite explain it and you tried to push it aside and say, well, you know, that's just the emotion of the moment other people are going, and there's a psychological process that takes place and that really isn't anything that happened to me. And my friend, what you're doing is you're pushing God back and away because you're afraid that He might want you to change. You see, when God really comes to us, we change. We change. There's something different that happens in us. There's a different way of looking at things, a different way of thinking. Again, look at Peter. I will not eat of that. And God says, don't call anything common that I've cleansed. And He prepared him for the moment when those Gentiles would be knocking on the door. God spoke to Peter upon that rooftop. And folks, when he listened, my, what a day that was. There in that house where Cornelius lived and all those servants and family members that were there, and I don't know, possibly neighbors and friends, who knows, but in that house, when Peter came, they suddenly listened to the gospel message. They heard how Jesus had come to earth. Now, again, did you note how I said that? Jesus came to earth. God came to man, and mankind was changed because of God coming to man. And the world paid no attention, but a few people did. A few people did. And then Peter went on and preached how Jesus was crucified. And again, God came to man. Who ever heard of God dying on the cross? Who would have ever thought such a thing? Why, it's not unusual for man to die on a cross. Oh, in that day and age, the Roman Empire used that process for their normal execution. They would take someone that was a problem and they'd hang them on a cross and they'd let them hang outside a city and everybody that would walk by would look up and see him. But who would have ever thought of God dying on a cross? God came to man that day. As Jesus hung on the cross, as people walked by that hill, as they looked up and saw Jesus, as they recognized what was happening, that another execution, many of them saw that as just the norm. That was just the same thing. But some of them were brokenhearted and went and wept. And 3 days later, God came again. And my friend, the world was forever changed because of that moment. The world was forever changed. And as Peter stood there at the house of Cornelius, and he talked to those people, and he told them about it, there was something that happened. God came. God came. You see, I can give you the words. I can speak to you. And my brothers and my sisters, to be real honest with you, I've read this book and I know the stories in it. I know the things it says. Now, I don't know everything, but I know the things it says. And I've read it time and time and time and time again. And I can tell you what it says. But unless God comes, it means nothing. Unless God comes. And unless you listen. See, I know that there's many things going on today. I realize that. Ruth's Sunday School class is going down the Apple Barn or whatever it is, call whoever, whatever name it is. And we're going to go down there and we're going to eat, man. And Ruth has already given me instructions. Gerald, we got to get on the bus so you can't stand and make all those people wait out on the bus. You can't stand in the door and talk to everybody. She's already told me. And that's already in my mind. But let me tell you this. When God comes, everybody ought to stop what they're doing and set aside every thought that's in their mind and start listening to God. You see, He wants to do something powerfully and wonderfully in your life this morning. This is the day that the Lord hath made. This is the day of salvation. This is the moment that He has given you. This location. You came in here today. I don't know what you expected when you came. I don't know what your heart said to you as you walked through the door. You may have been tired from yesterday. Ruth and I came back from Kentucky. I preached a camp meeting up there and all week long, and it was a wonderful time, and we drove back yesterday and got home about noon, went to a wedding yesterday evening. And let me tell you, when I got home from the wedding, I was just dead. I don't know how you felt, but I was just dead. And I didn't want to go to bed at 8 o'clock. Who wants to go to bed at 8 o'clock? I know some of you might, but not me. So I forced myself to stay awake and fell into the chair, sleep in the chair. Yeah, you see, did you catch that? I forced myself to stay awake and fell asleep in the chair. Then I made my way into the bed about 10:30, and man, I was dead. I walked in here, I did my normal thing, I came up the door. I knew Kenneth Trantham was sick or something because the door wasn't unlocked. So I unlocked the door, I came in, and there they were practicing, getting ready for Sunday morning worship. And I did all of my normal things. I couldn't find my mic. Had to wait for Dell to get that and talk to a few people. Then I did my normal thing. I went back to the office. I opened up my office, and I started walking through. And I came to one of my favorite Sunday school classes. They usually have food. And I went in and talked to people. I went out, saw some of the folks, got to see the kids. You see, the babies are the wonderful things when you come in on Sunday morning. And so I go back in the nursery area and look and see who's coming. And Justice was walking down the hallway. I guess Mike was with her. Who cared? And Justice came, and she came, and I picked her up and kissed and took her into the nursery, and Kay Trantham held her hands out, and she refused to go to her. That was wonderful. Wonderful. Life is good when that happens, you know. And walked and went through all the normal, you understand? About 20 till came out of my office and started walking through the crowd, saying hello to you all, talking to some of you and visiting with you. And then at 5 till we had our prayer, and suddenly, I don't know, but it seemed to me like there was something different that just transpired. Something different. Maybe you didn't have that sense. Maybe I'm goofy or crazy or whatever it is, but there seemed like there was something different. And I felt like God came. When God came, as Peter preached, the people were changed because God walked among them. Friend, note this. God wants to be here and to be in you and to change you. You say, well, I've been saved since I was 13 years old and I really don't need this anymore. And I'm already saved. And friend, let me tell you something. There's some folk that have been, quote, Christian for 10 years or 20 years or 40 years that really need some changes done in their life. Some of us get so assured with what we've done and who we are that we forget that God still wants to change people. He wants to change our attitudes. He wants to change our outlooks. He might just want to change the way we just treat each other. And some of you that sit here today and you've sat through church service after church service and you've paid no attention to God, you just waiting for the bell to ring, so to speak. Let me get out of here. I need to go. But God has come into our midst and He's spoken to you. Peter could have stayed on the rooftop that day and said, I'm not going over to Cornelius' house. It's a long way. It's hot today. I don't like those people. They're weird anyhow. I am not going. And missed out on all that God was going to do. Missed out on all that God was going to do. Friend, you can sit in the pew. You can just stay where you're at. But if God's spoken to you, you'll miss out on all that God wants to do in you. And what a shame that would be. What a shame that would be. Peter could have stayed put, and he would have missed what God did at Cornelius' house. I tell you, as a preacher, there's nothing greater than to watch men and women move for God. Nothing greater. I mean, it's not a matter of having all the right words to say to you, my friend. It's a matter of God speaking to you. And when that happens, and men and women respond to Him, there is nothing greater. There's been a couple times in my life I got on a roller coaster. I don't do rides, okay? I had a friend of mine, his wife, Ruth and I took the kids, and he and his wife took their kids. There was six kids and four adults, and we went to Astro World in Houston, Texas, if I remember correctly. I don't like those places. They're only good for spending money and eating food. You guys can do all that other stuff on those things. I don't like it. I don't want to be there. I'll suffer if other people want to go, but just don't expect me to ride. And here they were, and Jeannie Ebert, she looked at me. She said, Gerald, they're all on the roller coaster. I need somebody to ride with me. Will you? And I said, no. She says, oh, Gerald, she says, please, please, please go with me. Please go with me. I said, okay. I got on the roller coaster and I'll never forget it. Man, that thing started coming around and they said it was a little one. I don't believe it. It was the biggest one I've ever seen in my life. And it started around and I was hanging on. And I'm telling you, I thought, God, if you ever get me off of this, I'll never get on another one. And we got off, and I've never been on another one. But let me tell you about the roller coaster ride of seeing people's lives change for Jesus. Of seeing a man who has been less than what he should have been come to Christ and be forgiven. Let me tell you about watching somebody as they grow in their life with Jesus because they've been changed by Christ. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. To see somebody go, oh, I understand now. Or to watch a man or a woman walk down an aisle in a church service and maybe have tears running down their face or maybe not, depending on who you are. And see them get up and testify that Jesus is forgiving them. There's nothing like that at all. But it only happens when you respond to God when He comes. God will change you. Father, you see the situation of every person here. You understand what's taking place here this morning. You know the hearts and lives of every man and every woman. You see what they've already prayed about. You see what they need to pray about. You see what you want to change in their life. And right now, I believe you're speaking to someone and a number of someones. And God, if they'll just get up off the rooftop, come on down, go to Cornelius' house, they'll be forever changed. Forever changed. The wonders of your grace in their life make them so different. To realize that Jesus actually did come to this earth, and that He really did die on our behalf, and that His blood is able to bring forgiveness to anybody who would call upon you, and that the resurrection was real, and that you are alive today. God, would you just speak to people, and may they respond to you? Would this day be the day where they will be able to say, Jesus came and I listened and I've been changed? God, that can be true for believer or non-believer. May we be yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?